is the very auspicious occasion of the appearance of one of the great and prominent acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Parampara. The Param Guru of Bhagavan Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today is the disappearance day of Sri Madhavendra Puri. On these blessed occasions, it is most beneficial to chant and to hear the glories of these great personalities. In fact, there is a blessing, an eternal blessing, that whoever hears these wonderful narrations with submissive oral reception will certainly, in due course of time, achieve the greatest of all treasures, the treasure of pure bhakti, unalloyed devotion at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita very beautifully explains the story of Sri Madhavendra Puri. I would like to very briefly summarize the contents. After Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order of life, sannyas, giving up the pleasurable atmosphere of his home with his loving and devoted wife, who was the personification of faithfulness and chastity, and his aged and widowed mother, he decided that he would preach the glories of the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy name, everywhere. By his mother's persuasion, instead of initially going to Vrindavan, he decided to go to Jagannath Puri. So with four of his associates, they began the walk from Shantipur in Bengal to Sri Purushottam Kshetra Jagannath Puri in Orissa. As they were traveling, they came to a very quaint and beautiful village of the name Remuna. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees saw the beautiful temple of Gopinath, they went in for the darshan. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bowed in prostration at the feet of Gopinath, the helmet of flowers that were upon his head came off and fell right over the head of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he became very much joyful and began to dance and chant in ecstatic love. And he sat down with his devotees and he began to narrate this beautiful story. He told them that years ago, my own spiritual master, Srila Ishwara Puri, told me this story about his spiritual master, Sri Madhavendra Puri. He was traveling, and at one time he came to Vrindavan. And very blissfully he traveled throughout Vrindavan, and then he came to Govardhan Hill. And he performed the parikrama around Giriraj Govardhan. And then he sat at the very holy place called Govindakund. Govindakund is the place where, after Sri Krishna, in his divine form of Giridhari, lifted the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and seven nights. It was here that Indra surrendered to Sri Krishna as the real Indra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was here that he performed the Abhishek by taking the Ganges water through his elephant Airavata, and the Surabhi cow also came and they performed a beautiful ceremony, coronating Krishna as the king of all kings, the king of all gods. So Madhavendra Puri, sitting under a tree in this place, was chanting the holy names of Sri Krishna. And then a small boy, a cowherd boy, approached him with a pot filled with milk and told him that, "I understand, Swamiji, that you have been fasting throughout the day, but in my village, no one fasts. Some people, they get food by begging. Some take little milk. But some people like you are so humble that unless someone personally comes and brings food, you just fast." This was Madhavendra Puri's sublime devotional mood, that he was so utterly, completely depending on Krishna, that unless something came of its own accord, he would not endeavor for it at all, for his own personal benefits. But as we will see in this story, for Krishna's service, he was willing to do anything, perform any extraordinary endeavor or tapasya. So Madhavendra Puri asked, "How is it that you know that I am fasting?" And the cowherd child replied that these ladies at the well, they have been doing their seva all day, they have told me. "Now you take this milk, but I must go now to herd the cows and to milk the cows, so I will come back for the bucket after some time." Madhavendra Puri drank the milk and washed the bucket in the water of Govinda Kund. And he waited for the child to return, but the child disappeared. He did not return for some time. This all takes place in the evening. As the night came, he spent the night simply chanting the holy names of Sri Krishna in ecstatic love. And just before the morning, he went into an internal state of consciousness. And in that state, he had a dream. And that same little cowherd boy came and took him by the hand and said, "Come with me," and brought him to a very thick, dense, forested area, jungle, and said, "Here, I have been waiting for you for many years. You come with the townspeople and you take me from this place." He said, "I am none other than Giridhar Gopal, Sri Gopal. And long ago, the great grandson of Krishna, Vajra, installed me on Govardhan Hill. But in recent times, some Mohammedans were threatening to attack this area. So the pujari took this beautiful form and hid it here. And then he had to run and never came back. So I have been waiting for a long time and I am very hot. You should take me and install me on the top of Govardhan Hill. You should bathe me with hundreds and hundreds of cooling buckets of water from Govinda Kund, and you could prepare a wonderful Anakut feast. My name is Sri Gopal, and I am the Lord of Govardhan." So Madhavendra Puri woke from his dream, and immediately he became very ashamed. He was thinking that Krishna appeared, and he gave me milk, and I didn't even recognize him. I didn't even offer him any respects. But then he was thinking that whatever regrets we may have in life, our first priority must be to execute the order of the Lord. So he went and explained to the townspeople, and they all came with choppers, and they chopped through the bushes and chopped through the trees. And there they found, lying on the ground, covered with dirt and grass, the beautiful Murti of Sri Gopal. He was very heavy and very, very strong man. Many, they lifted him and brought him to Govardhan Hill and brought him to the top. And they made an altar made out of stones, nice throne. And then they began to take water to give him bath. Under Madhavendra Puri's instruction and guidance, a beautiful, beautiful festival took place. Srila Prabhupada in his Chaitanya Charitamrita very elaborately describes this. How first there was an initial bathing ceremony where they bathed with many, many buckets of Govinda Kund's water. And then they smeared his body with all sorts of wonderful scented oils, auspicious powders. Then they bathed him in the Panchagavya and the Panchamrita, the five nectarine substances from the cow, the five nectarine substances of sweetness. And then another Abhishek, where they bathed him with 900 pots of buckets of water from Sri Govinda Kund. And then the Mahasnan, and they dried him, and they put beautiful oil to make his body very shining. And then people came forward with beautiful dresses. And then they offered wonderful, wonderful bhoga. In fact, the whole town came forward with all their stock of grains, all their stock of milk, butter, ghee, and so many Brahmins were cooking throughout the day, making mountains of chapati, mountains of sabjis, mountains of everything, just as Krishna originally instructed Nanda Maharaj at the time of the Anakuta Govardhan Puja. The Brijabasis made such beautiful arrangements. And Madhavendra Puri offered it all. And then he performed the arti. And then he put the deity to rest. And then distributed it to everyone. First he distributed it to the sadhus and the brahmins, and then to everyone, without consideration of caste or creed or any social position. Because the Lord's mercy is not to be discriminated in its distribution. The Lord's mercy is for anyone and everyone. The only qualification is the willingness to accept. There is no question of birth or any other qualification except that eagerness to accept. And there is no disqualification except the reluctance to accept that mercy, which comes through the loving mercy of his devotees. This festival became so popular that all the different villages in and around Vrindavan and Braja, they became so excited that they all decided and pleaded with Madhavendra Puri, let us also perform this Anukut ceremony. So every day there was another festival just like this. Every village brought their entire stock of all their wealth and food to offer to the deity. And this went on for weeks and for months. And gradually people started bringing jewels and making crowns and flutes. And then people started bringing beautiful silks for clothes for Gopal. And one very, very wealthy man, he built a beautiful temple for the Lord. and people were coming forward to offer the best they had. In fact, every single family in Brajbhumi donated one cow for the service of the Lord. In this way, Gopal became proprietor of so much wealth and so much opulence. And Srila Prabhupada explains that this is the real standard in which the deity should be worshipped. A great soul like Madhavendra Puri, by his purity, by his devotion, by his repeating the original word of Krishna as it is, simply inspires people. And the people around who are fortunate and anxious to make spiritual advancement, they come forward and naturally offer and donate the best they have for the deity. Knowing that Krishna is the proprietor of everything and everyone, people are anxious to offer whatever they can, knowing that they are not the loser, but they gain by millions and millions of times over. When the pure devotee of the Lord reveals the true glory of the deity, fortunate people come forward to build wonderful temple, to make wonderful offerings of bhoga, to donate opulences like cows to ensure that the deity will always have the best of everything. People were coming forward and offering every type of service to Madhavendra Puri and Sri Gopal. In a similar way, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he came with practically nothing. He came to this place in Juhu, which was something like a jungle at the time. And he brought the beautiful deity of Radha Ras Bihariji. And at first, they were in a little hut. But by the mercy of the Lord, so many people were attracted, not only from Bombay, but from all over the world, to build a beautiful temple and to make so many wonderful, ornate offerings to the Lord, beautiful shingasan, beautiful clothes, wonderful bhoga. People have come from all around to offer so many services. This is human civilization. This is Vedic culture, where everyone comes together to unite under the service of the Lord, under the direction of such a great soul. So Madhavendra Puri, he initiated many Brahmins to take care of the personal puja of the deity. And after 2 years, he had another dream. In this dream, Gopal, the lifter of Govardhan, appeared to him. And he said, Madhavendra Puri, I was in the heat of the sun of that jungle for so many years. I am still feeling very much inconvenienced due to that heat. So please go to the Malaya Hills, near the mountain Niladri, and bring for me pure sandalwood and make it into paste with camphor and smear it upon my body, and then I will be cooled and comfortable. Sometimes we have dreams. Sometimes Krishna appears in our dreams. At least he appears to appear. Sometimes other things appear. But we should know that the dreams of a conditioned soul who has material desire still in his heart is not a clear dream of Krishna. unless it is thoroughly confirmed by the words of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. We cannot take seriously. But when these pure-hearted Paramhamsa Vaishnavas who have surrendered everything, their dreams are not like our dreams, but they are divine visions, revelations of the Supreme Godhead. And the response to that dream is always an increase in the glory of their surrender to the Lord. One time, a devotee told Srila Prabhupada that I had a dream and you appeared to me and told me I could take drugs. And Srila Prabhupada said, that was not me. That was a ghost disguised as me. But you do not know the difference. Therefore, you have to ask me, what do I want? You cannot trust these dreams. But for the great souls, we can understand that it is something beyond the mind. It is Krishna directly. So when Madhavendra Puri heard this order, even though in Vrindavan he was living so nicely, he had so many disciples at this time, so many servants, all the villagers around were willing to do anything and everything he asked. Beautiful temple, wonderful worship, his own beloved Lord that he could spend the entire day just serving and loving with so many offerings. But when he received this message, go to the Malaya Hills and bring this sandalwood, the deity didn't tell him to send his servants. The deity told him to go. So he arranged all the pujas for all of the Brahmins to take his responsibilities. And very soon after, he left. The Malaya Hills are in the vicinity of Sri Jagannath Puri Dham. The Lord traveled by foot thousands of miles, not by Indian Airlines, not by Indian Railways, not by Hindustani motor cars, not even by bullock. But in the service of the Lord, he felt no inconvenience to walk thousands of miles to relieve his Lord from heat and inconvenience. This is the symptom of a true Vaishnava. He's willing to put his own personal convenience and comforts aside always for the service of the Lord and his devotees. So as he was walking that long and arduous journey, he came to Shantipur in the Nadia district of Bengal near Navadweep, and there he met Sri Advaita Acharya, that great avatar of Mahavishnu, who was later to be the one to call Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to appear in this world by his loving prayers for the sake of delivering Krishna Nam to the world. Advaita Acharya there saw the unique quality of devotion and surrender of Madhavendra Puri, and he surrendered at the lotus feet. And it was there that Madhavendra Puri gave diksha or initiation to Sri Advaita Acharya. Then he proceeded, and he came to a little village named Remuna, and there was the famous temple of Gopinath. And he went in and he saw the beautiful form of the Lord, and he became so entranced in the ecstasy of love, he began to cry and he began to dance and he began to chant the holy names before the deities. And then he asked one Brahmin, what type of food offerings are given to Gopinath? And the Brahmin began to explain the various preparations which were offered so first class in every respect. And then he described that every evening there is one offering where there are 12 pots of kheer. And this kheer, it is like amrit, nectar. And just at that time, the pujari brought the 12 clay pots of kheer on the altar. And Madhavendra Puri began to think, because he was always thinking of serving Gopal. Wherever he was always thinking, how can I best serve Sri Gopal, the Lord of my life? If I can just taste even a small portion of this kheer, then I can make the same type of preparation for Sri Gopal when I return to Vrindavan. But then he became very ashamed that the deity Gopinath is eating this bhoga and I'm already thinking of tasting it. A devotee always wants to see the pleasure of Krishna, to see the standard of his devotion. Atheistic people claim that how is it that a deity eats? But Krishna says, Ashnasi patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayashchat. That if you offer me a little fruit, water, flower, if it is offered with devotion, I will eat it. Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate. But Krishna's Purnam, he is complete and perfect in every respect. He can eat the food and enjoy it, the devotion that is put in within that food. But then he leaves the food for us. He can eat it all, at the same time, leave it all. But it becomes prasad. It becomes non-different than Krishna himself. It becomes his mercy. And one who takes with the proper consciousness prasad becomes immensely purified. So Madhavendra Puri was thinking, I'm meditating on eating something that Krishna is eating. So he became ashamed. And then the offering was finished, and the aarti began, and Madhavendra Puri very ecstatically beheld the beautiful form of Sri Gopinathji. And after aarti, without saying anything to anyone, he left that place. And he went to a secluded marketplace, and there he began to chant the holy names of Krishna. The pujari took the pots off of the altar, put the deity to rest, and then he went to sleep. But then Gopinath appeared to the pujari in a vision and told him that you offered me 12 pots, but I have stolen one pot for Madhavendra Puri, a great sannyasi devotee of mine. It is hiding behind the cloth on the altar. Now you come just now, you take that pot and you deliver it to Sri Madhavendra Puri. He is my devotee. So the pujari, he got up, he took his bath, he went into the altar, he moved the curtain, and there was one pot of sweet rice. So he washed the area, and he went into the marketplaces, and he began to call, Madhavendra Puri, whoever you are, wherever you are so fortunate that Gopinath has stolen this pot of kheer just for you. Please come and receive it. And all the people of Remuna, they were all wondering, who is this Madhavendra Puri? Gopinath has become thief. He has become Kira Chora Gopinath. And Madhavendra Puri, he heard his name and he came out. And the pujari offered his obeisances and explained the whole story that Gopinath has become a thief for you. Now what kind of thief is Gopinath? He is Kira Chor. In Vrindavan he was Makkan Chor. In this world he is Hari. He steals. But we should not take this to be something like the stealing of this world. It is absolutely different for several reasons. One, Krishna explains in Gita, Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarva lokameheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam gyatva mam shantim richchati. That I am the proprietor of all the universes and all the planets and everything within each planet of all of existence. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate itimatvabhajante mam buddha bhava samangata. Everything emanates from me. Everything is mine. So therefore, if you own everything, what is the question of stealing what you already own? The fact is, in this material world, we have all stolen what is Krishna's property. When Krishna appears to steal, he's just taking it back. It's his. Just like if someone comes into your house and, or someone comes into your car and sits in your car, and then you take the car and say, give it to me. And he says, you thief, you're stealing my car. It's crazy. But everything belongs to Krishna. When Krishna takes something from us, we call him a thief. But actually he's not a thief, because it is his. So his stealing is just a pastime of reclaiming his own property. But besides that, when Krishna steals, everyone becomes blissful. When someone in this world steals, everyone becomes disgusted. If I steal from you, you hate me. But when Krishna would steal, everyone would love him. In Vrindavan, Krishna would steal the butter and the ghee and so many things. And when the gopis would complain to Yashoda, she would say, oh, then I will keep my Krishna at home and I will punish him and you don't worry about him stealing anymore. No, no, please. You must let him steal. The only reason why we make our butter is with the hope that he will come and steal it. It is our pleasure, it is our life to prepare things so wonderful that Krishna will want to come and steal it. So that is Krishna's stealing. He gives pleasure. And when Gopinath stole that pot of sweet rice, the pujari was in ecstasy, Madhavendra Puri was in ecstasy, everyone was in ecstasy. So we should understand that Krishna is never immoral. He is absolute. He is above all of the relative principles of material morality and immorality. Whatever he does is perfect and complete. Whatever he does is pure goodness. Whatever he does is the absolute truth. And it is a source of the supreme pleasure for all of his devotees. In fact, it is the source of supreme pleasure for the soul of every living being. So Madhavendra Puri accepted this pot of sweet rice, and he ate it, and then he took the clay pot, and he broke it into pieces and wrapped cloth, and every day he would take one little piece of that clay pot and eat it. And as he would eat it, tears would flow in ecstatic love, thinking of the mercy of Gopinath upon him. He left that very day because he knew in Remuna the whole town was worshipping him and glorifying him. And great devotees are by nature very humble. They do not like to be worshipped. They do not like to be glorified. They do not even like to be recognized. Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. That is the nature of any real devotee. So he quietly left that place and he wandered alone and he came to Sri Jagannath Puri. But to his great surprise, when he arrived at Jagannath Puri, the news of Gopinath stealing the kheer for him had already reached. So everyone was very much glorifying him, worshipping him, respecting him, and he was very much not liking this. But he had a mission. He went to the Jagannath temple and had the beautiful darshan of Sri Baladev, Srimati Subhadra, Sri Jagannath Swami. And he explained to the pujaris that Gopal has sent me from Vrindavan.